this is Derek Arden, and welcome. Welcome to the Negotiators Interview Series and the Negotiators Podcast. Today, I've got Patricia Fritt with me, all the way from San Francisco. Patricia is and has been the president of the National Speaking Association of America, the American Hall of Fame for speakers, and she is one of, if not the, top speaking coaches in the world. Welcome, Patricia. Thank you so much for joining me.
Always a pleasure to talk to my taxi driver when I come to England, or I should say my chauffeur service.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. I better tell the listeners that what the negotiated deal was with you.
Yes.
I asked Patricia to come and speak at my conference when I was the president of the UK Speaking Association, and she said she would if I picked her up at Heathrow Airport and drove her to her friend in Wimborne. And I immediately agreed. But what I didn't know, there was a catch with this, that every time she came over, I would pick her up at Wimborne. And this seems to be an agreement that is going to go on for a long time. Well, but of course, I've got my recording machine with me. Yeah, and yeah. I asked her questions for 2 hours all the way down. So it's
You might be a good negotiator, but as my staff used to say, you can't flim-flam a flim-flam artist.
So Patricia's from Wimborne in Dorset. She was a hairdresser in Bournemouth, my favourite county, wonderful place. And she emigrated to America, to San Francisco. So welcome, Patricia. Patricia, today I want to talk to you about storytelling, because I know how important storytelling is at conferences, at business meetings, but a lot of people don't realise the power of the story and the metaphor. Can you run that past us all, please?
I often find with the sales teams that I work with, they have the impression, Patricia, it's almost as if our prospects take seminars from people like you to resist our sales presentation. And what I like to tell them, and I suggest to our listeners, that people might resist a sales presentation. Nobody can resist a good story well told. And there are two very important formulas that we can use in business. The first and the absolute classic would be social proof. You tell stories about satisfied customers or clients, and every good professional needs to have in their back pocket, which means you're prepared, they're polished, they're ready to bring out when you need them, an arsenal of stories to match the type of prospects and people that they are talking to. So for example, if you were talking to doing business with a $2 billion software company, it doesn't matter that your happy, satisfied customer story is a $2 billion software company, but it needs to be about the same size and about the same complexity. There has to be a match. And within your stories, because although companies do business with companies, it's really people who work in companies negotiate and close deals with other people. And people are a lot more easier to make an emotional connection to. So what you would do within your presentation, so this is, let's say, when everything else is equal, you are competing against someone else with great references, great customers who think they're fabulous, probably the technology or the product and the price isn't that much different. In other words, whether this company selected A, B, or C, the results would be similar. That's what I call everything else is equal. The presentation makes the difference. And I have so many clients who've engaged me because they said, Patricia, we're losing sales. Nothing to do with what we offer. The presentation skills of our competitors are better than ours. And storytelling, as you know from your own work, is very important. So let's just imagine you've got this arsenal of stories. So when a prospect would say to you, can you think of a reference I could call? These are the type of people you have in your back pocket. And when you do this artfully, it's as if you're taking your satisfied clients on your sales calls with you. So for example, you might be saying, and you always have to focus your presentation around the challenges, the opportunities, or whatever the priorities are for the person you're talking to. So you might say, certainly this is your challenge. And this is very similar to what we solved for the ABC company. Now, if Patricia were here, she would say, the first time I called Derek, I said, help. Now, you're going to think, oh, but customers probably don't call and say help. No. Now, this is the important part about stories. They have to be true. They don't have to be 100% factual. In other words, you take what could have been 2 weeks of conversations, could be 3 months of negotiations, and you shrink it into one conversation that starts with help. How could they, if they knew, clearly articulate the problem? Because I have heard, help, as you know, we're a $2 billion software company with aspirations to be $20 billion. This is what our challenge is. I've heard this. So it's help. And the secret is, Derek, you always give the situation, the help conversation, in the words of your happy customer. Then the solution is in your words. So what we did for this company is very similar to what we'd recommend for you. It would be a six-step process. We did this, 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 this. And then you say, if Patricia were here, she would tell you, we would not have believed it possible that we could bring this project in under budget, 2 months early, and it has exceeded our expectations. You cannot go wrong doing business with this company. So in other words, your happy customer, if you use their dialogue, and this is another important part. So you've got situation, solution, success, situation, success, in the words of the happy customer, the solution in your words. When you are using the words of your happy customer,
okay,
say anything about yourself. You will not go wrong working with Patricia Fripp. You will not go wrong hiring Derek Arden for your negotiation training because. So you see, it's hysterical. It's as if the other person is asking for the business, even though you are using the words. But you have to deliver the dialogue, not report on the dialogue. So reporting on the dialogue is, if Patricia Fripp were here, she would tell you that she was really very satisfied with our service and that we exceeded our expectations. In fact, her salespeople are producing 20% more than they thought was possible. That's reporting on it. If Patricia Fripp were here, she would tell you, I would not have believed it possible that after Derek's negotiation training, all our sales professionals were so equipped. They were handling bigger deals. They were closing more contracts. And the level of camaraderie and celebration has changed our whole corporate environment. You won't go wrong hiring Derek Arden. Now, you understand the difference. You can put the energy and the passion when you're using the dialogue as if they were there.
The thing I'm struggling a little bit with as a Brit, rather than American, is we're a bit more reserved.
Of that Fripp woman's advice, she's too over the top. Well, the principles work.
I know it works.
Down a little, but...
Are you almost saying what the testimonial would be at the end? So you tell the story, this is what we did. And if the managing director was here, he would say, our sales are up 20%, our return on investment's up 10%, and our sales force are more motivated. Would you actually say that?
Oh, most definitely.
Okay.
So the question is, well, how do you get these wonderful stories? Well, you call your satisfied clients, the ones that you're using as references, the ones that are on your websites, the ones that are in your brochure, and you leave a voicemail. You call in the evening, leave a voice, and I say, Derek, I'll never forget the time that we, now for me, it might be the time that we had that conference in Mexico City and your sales team was so turned on and you told me you got great results at the end of that year. One, do you mind if I use that story in my presentations? And would you mind setting up a time where I can hear in your words what your challenge was before we started talking? Why you selected me for this project? And have we met and exceeded your expectations? We haven't talked in a few months and you were very happy at the time. I want to know the results. So what you're doing, you're leaving a message and then you get them on the phone. And I promise you, Derek, and for any of our listeners, give your happy customers time to think. And you do an interview. So what you do, you have an interview and you record it. Because you want them to just be free-forming. And you can lead them. You say is, oh, you increased sales. Do you keep figures? How much have you increased sales? And, well, what did your salespeople say about that? What has been one of your greatest successes? So they will actually write a better script for you about how good you were when you're in these conversations if you pick the right customers.
Wow. I see exactly what you mean now. Yeah. That's very clear. Very clear indeed.
And then what you do, you just record this, have it transcribed, so you can really take their actual words. You see, you can't take notes on this because you want to be engaged in the process. That's why you record it and say, with your permission, I'd like to record the conversation, Derek, so we can save you time and you can say whatever you like. It will only be from my own notes. And I promise you, I'll run by the example before I use it in my sales presentation.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Now, what about closing skills in stories? So have you got any closing skills, how you would do it, or does it close itself?
Well, on the, so you say if they were here, it would do that. It was, so you give, and what you might do is, you see, through your presentation, you might have a couple of different companies.
Yeah.
But remember, companies are people. So it might be John from IBM, Mary from AT&T, Derek from Barclays Bank. So then when it comes to the end of your presentation, you want to say is, thank you for the opportunity to present our approach to helping solve your problem. And you might say, answer questions or I wouldn't. So if you would like the results that John, Mary and Derek received, our next logical step would be. So just as in a speech, we would do a callback of our characters and the principles in a sales presentation. See, you've done such a good job painting the scenes of these companies. You can say if you want the results and you bring them back in the end. Now, I promise you, there's another type of story. So that is the happy, satisfied story. And you bring your characters back in your conclusion. There is also the imagine story. And that is when you transport this company, these decision makers into the future. And you imagine it's a year from now. And you paint the scene of if they use your technology, your training, your solution, what is likely to happen? And then you say, will that be a reality? All depends on the decision you make, on you selecting the right vendor to do this. You see, and if you have better storytelling skills than the other brilliant competitors, that can give you an edge because you've made an emotional connection. You've painted a picture of what will happen to them as well as the happy, satisfied clients. That's what I consider having an unfair advantage if you're a good storyteller.
That's fantastic. Now, I've got a little difficult question for you as my last one. I'm sitting here in Guildford, 30 miles from London. Brits aren't as in your face as Americans. So I think some people will be listening to this thinking, oh, I'm not sure about doing that. What would your advice be to them? Because you know both sides of the Atlantic Ocean.
I would use the same principles and I would rehearse. First of all, you have to rehearse it on your friends, on your colleagues. You don't try adding these stories with a tad more drama than you normally would, unless you've rehearsed them. And I would say, tell your stories at least 20 times before you put it in your presentation.
20 times. Wow. Yeah.
And how do you know if you don't test it?
I see that.
You don't know till you test it. But I promise you, if your competition is giving better stories than you, why not?
So the very last question is, what's the biggest deal that someone's ever done after they've been coached by Patricia Fritt, the speaking coach?
I worked with a small engineering firm. And how I got the job is I was speaking at an HR conference and the director of HR, who actually was a player in this company, came up and said, our engineers need to work with you. And a couple of weeks later, I flew to Indianapolis and I had what they were given this presentation 2 days later. And I made them bring the clothes that they were wearing for the, and I mean, we could not leave this room until everyone had their scripts. I mean, that was simple. Talk about, you know, going home to sleep, you couldn't. We had to go because I only had one day with them. I talked to them on the phone and I gave a couple of, for the person, the president who was kicking off the meeting, I gave him his opening lines and I gave him what would probably be his closing lines. And it's very important to wear the clothes you're going to. So, for example, the woman who was going to be in charge of communications, she normally wear very floaty clothes, etc., and bangles. She was from India and very creative. That's fine because you're in a creative profession. And she had bought a jacket to wear over the floaty, which was very appropriate for the situation. You have your personality, but it's professional. And I said, it doesn't fit. She said, but it's expensive. I said, I don't care if it's an expensive jacket. You're going to take it back because you have to have a jacket that fits. My friend Diane Parenti said, when it comes to clothes, it's all fit and fabric. So it doesn't matter how expensive it is. If it doesn't fit, it's wrong. That was another one. Great presentation, great visual aids on what their technology was going to do. He had a silk tie with a fish on it. But the eye was pointing down. It was almost like, look below my belt. Look down here. Don't listen to my words. Look down. I said, you cannot wear that tie.
Isn't it interesting? People
don't look at that. And they were going in. There were three companies. One, there was what the governor wanted all business to stay in state as much as possible. Contracts for the state had, they wanted the money to stay there. So the out of state company, they thought they could do the job, but that they're probably not going to get it because of what the governor wants. But then they were out of the two in state companies. They were really the underdog because the people making the decision, they had worked with the project manager and they really liked him with this other company, their project manager they'd never met. So the presentation really was going to make the difference because out of the two, they were the underdog. And 2 months later, they're all on the phone and they are yelling, screaming, champagne popping. They said, Patricia, we just won the $20 million contract and we could not have done it without you. And it was true. I knew what we did that they didn't know they would have lost it. Now, that is a small firm. Now, of course, a lot of the companies that I work with, I'm getting them ready for their company meetings that when they do well, like for example, I'm coaching engineers for a cloud software company. They're going to have 5,500 customers and prospects at their conference. So based on the quality of the presentations and the education, you know, how much business that would generate, I would have no way of knowing.
No, I understand. That's amazing. And I was just thinking, sometimes it's the really small things that make a massive difference, like the tie and the fit of jacket. And yet people don't see that. And that's why it's so powerful to have a coach or a mentor that comes in from outside and sees it. Patricia, we're out of time, but can I thank you so much for being so clear for our listeners and the people that are watching it on video. Thanks for your time. Thanks for your presence. And I'm going to be picking you up at Heathrow at some stage when you're coming across, because that was the deal. But that was a terrific interview. And I look forward to interviewing you again at some stage, if you'd allow me to, for the Negotiators podcast. Patricia, thank you.